one. No, this one. Torah Way, Northwest London. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, 6th of May. Dying Hanoich Friedman. More Shalas on Choshe Mishpot.
One interesting case that was discussed was somebody hired a band for the wedding of one of his children. A band, you know, musical instrument.
Yeah.
And he canceled the band 2 weeks before the wedding. So the person, the music, said, I can't get any other job at this time because people always make arrangements in advance. Nobody waits the last minute to order the music. So, okay, so then he would agree to, if you have a loss, then I'll pay you for your time. You couldn't get it. But then at the night of the wedding, there was a big snowstorm. So the fellow with the band couldn't get it at any rate. It was impossible for it to go anywhere. Chosin Kala barely made it to the wedding. Maybe 10 people were there. So the question is the fellow, the one who arranged the chosin, is he mechuyev to pay? He said, I was willing to pay you because you had a loss. I canceled the band because, and then you have a loss because you couldn't get another job. But you couldn't get anything at any rate. Nobody, you couldn't get out of the house. Nobody could get out. So the question is, mechuyev to pay or not? That's an interesting question. Anybody have any in Choshe Mishpot? I always like to hear other people's opinions. Anybody have any opinions on the subject?
The question is, when is the Shas Hezek?
Well, the Shas Hezek is the Chora when the night of the wedding, when you could have had another job, you didn't. That's the Shas Hezek.
The Shas Hezek is when he canceled.
No, that's not the Hezek. It's only a garmi. What's the garmi? You could have made money.
Yeah.
So I could have made it. When would I make it? The night I have free is that night. So what do you think?
Maybe you would have got a job in another town. Stuck by the
snowstorm. Well, he wasn't planning to leave until a half hour before, and the radio snowstorm all day. He couldn't get out. So the question of horror depends on this. That, but on the other hand, there's another side to the issue. If you hired someone to build you a building, for instance, a kablan, you hired someone to build you a building, and then you broke a contract. And the next day, the fellow who's the builder gets sick. He can't build. So once you broke the contract, you really broke it. I mean, it makes no difference. If you break any contract, you're supposed to build for you, and you're supposed to pay for him. And then the day after you canceled, he got sick. But that wouldn't free you from responsibility. So how do we look at our case here? Do we look at it as one that you're only paying for his loss, there is no loss? Or do we look that once the contract is already broken, so it makes no difference to him, it's him. Maslim, afterwards it makes no difference. So it would seem that it would depend how their agreement was made. If their agreement was just made by Pea, so then meaning without any official contract, so then it was meant a pisvara. What is the svara in our circumstance? What does the Seichel Yosha say? I can't make you have a loss, you can't have me make a loss. So if it's all dependent on a loss, so then if so, at the time of the night you couldn't travel anywhere, so I made you no loss. But if they wrote up an official contract which says that such and such is the agreement, and if you break the contract, you're obligated to pay. So then, once you broke the contract, what happens afterwards, it makes no difference. He got sick, he got it. But at the time of the contract, that was a violation. And then you pay for the violation of the contract. So the Chora would depend if there was all understanding among them, just common sense, or there was official contracts between them. That, the Chora, should be the difference in the two cases. Now I ask you another case. There's a fellow who had an important meeting in a business area in Jerusalem, 9:30 in the morning, and he's going down in 5 minutes before the appointment. And 5 minutes before the appointment, he ran into a nail. It tore his pants. Now, he can't go into the appointment like that. Part of business appointment, but the torn clothing. So he goes into a clothing store, and the clothing store, but he saw the man's dilemma. So he told him, normally I charge $100 for a pair of pants, but I see you need it badly this month, I want to charge you $500 for the pants. He told him that it's worth only $100, that's what you normally pay. There's no know-how because I'm telling you its true value was $100. But I'm not selling it to you for less than $500. So I had no choice. If he go into the meeting with the torn pants, he'd lose much more than the $400. So he took it. He took it and he paid. Now the question is, can he ask for his money back later? Is this a sale that... when we look at it, the mekhtoyes, the noyes, how do we view this in halacha? Is it mishata? I'm only joking with you that I'm willing to pay or not? And how do we view this situation?
It's a
noah.
It's a
mecca. I don't hear it.
It's a
noah. Oh, you said very good. But the Gemara says in Bamitzia about noyem nonalef that if I tell you mefurish how much it's actually worth. It's worth 100. But I want 500. There's no, because I told you what the actual value is. I said, tell him a foolish, the price is less, but here's what I'm going to want to charge. In that case, there is no. But what could be decided is we have a situation in the Gemara Yevamos, in Daf Kuf Zayin, that a fella is running away. There's a world war. He's got the last ship, and he says, "I'm going to take you. Normally, the price to go over from France to England is £200, but I want for you £1,000." So the Gemara says later on, the fellow who agreed to pay the $1,000 can say Mishat Enibach, since the normal price is only 200, then I just like you asked something unreasonable. So I answered you, Meshat Anibach, I wasn't serious. But you can only do that, Meshat Anibach, is before you paid cash. If you paid cash, there's no such thing as paying cash and being Meshat. Once you pay, that means you accepted it. So in our situation also, if you just tell them, all right, I'll pay you later the amount. Then he could tell him Meshat Anibach, since the actual price is 100, and you're doing something outrageous, ask him 500. Then he could say Meshat Anibach, like the person who I was charging exorbitant price to take him over the river, even though the normal price was a fifth. But once you pay, the Gemara says there's no more Meshat Anibach because you don't make a joke with cash. If you paid, that shows you accepted it. But
you had no choice.
What?
You had no choice.
I'm a choice to take you.
I won't take a check.
That's true. So I have no choice. But on the other hand, of course, you're not a choice to buy with me. You want to? So don't buy. I'm not a choice to sell.
But you can still pay a check if you're mishakeh.
No, so he didn't take a check. He wanted only cash.
So therefore he can claim the full price from
whatever it was, he took.
Yeah, because he told Mevan
Chila. He doesn't go bad. Only in a situation where he told him what the real price was. But somebody asked another, but there was another question. What happens if a poet paid with a credit card? And a credit card you can take back. Under certain circumstances, you can take back the credit card. Can you say Meshat on that or not? That's depending on what the laws are. If you could take back a credit card only with a claim that it's stolen or not, Well, that was an issue. What would have been with a credit card under those circumstances?
How can you take it back, a credit card? It goes in seconds.
Yeah, but they say, I don't know, I heard in Israel that up to a day, if you claim that something was wrong, and the credit card cancels the transfer. I don't know if it is that way or not. That's what I was told. So, but it could be that's only if you claim it was theft or something else, not under normal circumstances. Kopanim, if you can, then for sure there's nothing to talk about. Another case.
Even if you can, it's a different idea. It's
not right.
It would be like the same thing, like I deposited like the money in your
right.
And then I found a way to take it back, but like really. My actions already proved that.
Oh, it could be, but he could say I relied on the chachila, I could take it back. That's why I was a mishatan. The question was I just joking with you, like, since you said something outrageous? So when I paid, you can't say I was joking. If I had a way to take it back, perhaps you could say I had a means of taking it back. So I will. So I wasn't serious. That's what I was going to pay. That's something. To think about if there is such a thing. Another case happened in Israel. There was a public claim against one of the supermarkets, the Yersh, and the civil court passed the public claim because they had listed certain prices in the aisles, and it's supposed to be the same price in the aisles as when you pay in the counter, and it wasn't. So the civil court had a decision that they're going to fine this chain of supermarkets 2 million shekel. And how do they, will the supermarket pay it, this chain? Whoever buys anything beyond 20 shekel gets a return of 4 shekel back. So that's what the civil court decided. So there was one base that said that you're not allowed to take the money. First of all, you personally, if you're not a person who had hezek, you never bought those objects. So nothing to do with you. Two, it's a decision not by a beis din, it's by a civil court. So it doesn't have a validity in aloha. So. Excuse me? What happened was there was a public claim against a chain of supermarkets that they had mispriced something in the aisles and in the counter. There was a discrepancy. Therefore, the civil court had a decision that the supermarket should pay the public 2 million shekels. And the way of doing that was anybody who was going to buy in the future until the 2 million shekel was paid back, over 20 shekel, and the store will get a discount, get 4 shekel back.
Right.
Okay, now, there was one beis din that said that you're not allowed to take the money. They said, for two reasons. First of all, you personally were not damaged. You didn't buy the mispriced objects. And two, this was a decision by a civil court, not by a beis din, so it's not valid in halacha. That was the opinion of one beis din. Came to we decided, and the shayla was asked us, and we gave three reasons why you're allowed to take the money. First of all, we said that all prices in all the supermarkets are made according to the Minhag HaMedina. So all this is not a question of Moshem Nizokin. Damages, if the civil court is machayev you in damages, so that has no validity in halacha, because damages is not something which is a contract. Damage is something, a din of mazik. So what they say, that doesn't have a validity. But in contractual law, it all depends on Minhag HaMedina, and all prices in stores and supermarkets are controlled by the government. So that is a din of Minhag HaMedina. So whatever they say, that has a validity. Two, second reason we said is that if the people, the Haredim, will have trouble each time they buy, they have to give back the money. It goes automatically in the computer, so they stop buying in the store.
What's the minimum Medina? They only find one supermarket, or that's not the price because the other.
Not one supermarket. They find a chain of supermarkets.
Yeah, I understand, but the other chain was not fine. So what's the minimum Medina?
No, minimum Medina means that according to what the civil courts will decide generally in prices. That's minimum Medina.
Yeah, but Horaya, that's not the price because the other supermarket.
No, but minimum Medina means that just like if they make. Just like if they make a price regulation. Minigam din is according to their das. If they'll tell you could take this much for milk, or could take the.
But it's a lie that it was a knas because the other one is allowed to sell it at normal price. Just they have to sell it for cheap.
Yeah, but the minigam din is to listen to them. To whatever they do.
Pick and choose and say, for you, the minigas are.
No, but because of they had other discretion, because they thought that you deserve fine. So yeah, but the price of regulation, the klalim of price regulation depend on them. That's what that's the minigas that you go to them in price regulation. It's like if someone made a contract with somebody else and I said I date to what he's going to say. So that's already something you could do. I mean, so adaita the shimon, like even if it's not a beis din, if it's a koyish of Surya. We said adaita that koyish of Surya. And the second reason we said is that if the religious people are going to have difficulty because each time it goes automatically in the computer, they have to give back the money and so on, and the whole problem is buying, so they'll stop going to the super to the chain, they'll lose 10 times as much business. So if they'll lose much more business, so for sure the supermarket, the supermarket will be happy to pay it, not to lose business. And we added more than that, that was a second reason. And three, the supermarkets have absolutely no nafkamina who's going to take from them the 2 million shekel, because if the Haredi won't buy it, somebody else is going to buy it. So the other people who don't care about the psak of a base are going to buy it. So the 2 million shekels the supermarkets are going to have to give out at any rate. So they'd rather there should be more customers come earlier, first come and first served, in order they should have more business. So it definitely makes no difference to them who takes the money. If somebody's going to take it, either Reuben or Shimon, and we'd rather the people come earlier and we can have more clients. So that for sure it makes no difference to them. So for sure there is a mechila gemura beside the stores that you're allowed to take it. Besides the fact that whenever there's a discount, that brings in 5 times as much customers. So that's another reason why they're interested. So he said that there was absolutely no shaila that want to ask something?
I was trying to understand. So you're saying that the government has no right on the local to impose a fine on the business?
That's questionable. It depends what type of fine. If it was a nezikin depends on din Torah. Whether they want them to pay you some which he doesn't. Like for instance, in a court today, if there has a shaman accident, according to din Torah, if you deserve a certain amount, and it's not a question of insurance. But the civil court wants him to pay you 5 times as much, but because perhaps you had some sort of fear or something else, which according to din Torah doesn't recognize. So according to din Torah, you're not allowed to take that money. I say if it would not be for contractual law, then there perhaps would have been a problem. But I'll put it in our situation. There was.
Yeah, I can understand because I mean that basically you got before you had boishes.
I don't hear you.
Basically, you got before you had boishes. So
no, but boishes we don't collect, Ms. Maraz. We don't collect boishes today.
I'm a ripoy.
What? Ripoy, yes. Ripoy, yeah. But see, but I'm asking if they collect the things that you did not collect according to
boishes. Nothing could be mentioned.
We're talking about things that I gave you a hypothetical case the Basin does not judge. I saw things you would. If you would, you would. I saw things that don't, the Basin doesn't pass it. Okay. Now, another situation, this is not a Choshen Mishpat, but this was a Shaila asked in Hilchos Lashon Hara. Fella lived in a rented apartment for several years, and his Baal Bayis was not an easy fellow to deal with. Now, the Baal Bayis asked him to show the dira to his people, potential renters. So if he's going to tell everybody who comes there that the Baal Bayis is not an easy guy, then you're closing him down. Nobody will want to rent. On the other hand, it could be a responsibility if somebody comes in to warn him if you're asked. If you're not asked, it's something else. But certainly, if you're asked. So what is the proper thing to do under the circumstance? We're talking a situation where it is livable. With the first Baal Bayis, but it's to a certain extent it's difficult. So the line should be that you do something in the middle. You give them, tell the person, for instance, for me it's not a raya. I'm an easy guy. I don't make any ASIC with anybody else. But ask around generally. Well, if they think it's easy or not. The mila of this middle cob is because our certain people don't care. You're giving him the option. The other hand, if he's not stupid, if you tell him to ask around, then he should. If he doesn't, it's his fault. So you didn't let him in blindly because you're giving him the pesach that he should think. On the other hand, you're not closing down the original person, because if the person doesn't want to ask or he doesn't care, then...
Surely he's allowed to say, I have had difficulties with this landlord.
Yeah, but the question is, if you're going to tell that... to everybody...
The other guy to query and say, what were the difficulties, if he wants to know?
Yeah, but then if you're gonna tell us everybody comes, you're showing the dira, then he won't be able to rent to anyone.
But he might have an obligation to warn people.
So that's our question. What do you do in such circumstances?
If there's no obligation, then he's doing
so
it.
So that's our question. The way to do it usually is to do something in the middle. Like with a shidduch also. Yeah, you're going to tell the fellow you think this guy is a difficult guy, then nobody's going to marry him. So what do you do? Do something in the middle.
You should tell him he's a difficult guy. Tell the truth.
That kills him.
You're kidding me? They'll never find out shit.
Stop, sir.
Well, you'll find somebody else who doesn't care how difficult he is.
If you're a shot, we'll send him to you. But that's not so easy. There's always a way you have to try to decide something in the middle. Like someone I had an incident, and they asked me that this person had tremendous chumras, and sometimes his chumras were on the expense of the other party. So they asked me about him. So I told them the person had a lot of chumras. So they asked me. What do we do in certain circumstances, and what do we think? I told them it's a discretionary area, meaning that you have to look into it and think about it yourselves, what you would do in such a circumstance. Now, I'll tell you a case that a Dayan from France discussed with me that. Someone asked his friend to take with him, going to a different country, a certain brand of coffee. That's a good brand of coffee. He wants to take it with. All right. He passed the meches. He already passed the where you pay the tax. And he happened to open up the box of coffee, and he sees there's diamonds inside. The guy is smuggling diamonds. So he told the guy, "I don't want to go to jail. I'm gonna throw the diamonds out. So they'll catch me. I'm smuggling diamonds. So I'm not willing to take it. You fooled me. You told me you were just sending coffee with me. You told me that you're smuggling diamonds. So for sure, he has the right to do it. Okay. The guy, I have no prayer. You don't want to take it. You're past the mechas. You're past the tax. Okay. Agreed. Not a thought, a second thought. For him, I'm not willing to go over the border and take it illegally. But I'll take the diamonds for myself now. I'll smuggle and take it for myself. I'm not asking if he's a tzaddik. That's not our question here. That he's not a tzaddik. Okay, that's obvious. But the question is, is according to Chazon Mishpat, is there a claim against him or not? That here he told the fellow we passed the border, the control. I told him, I don't want to get caught. I don't check it, and I don't want to do it. So it's okay. I have no choice. You want to throw it out? So I've already agreed that he should throw it out. Another hand. So if now he decides to take it for himself, maybe it's already hefker. So maybe I'll be chashan mishpat. Maybe he can take it for himself. What do you think? Rabbi say, is it that the other have a legal claim against him or not? Anybody idea?
But he can't make it hefker. It's the guy who owns it.
Well, he talked to the owner. He told the owner, you want me to smuggle, and I'm not willing to smuggle for you.
But the owner wasn't prepared to make it happen.
The owner says, if you have no choice, you're going to throw it out. The owner says, well, I have no way of giving it back to you now, and I don't want to take it. So what if the owner says, well, I am going to throw it out? So that's our question. So Lachara, our Pichayshim Mishpat, once the owner already agreed, they can throw it out. It's like Hefker. So that at that point in Pichayshim Mishpat, he's not right morally, but our Pichayshim Mishpat, you couldn't take it away from him.
Would the passenger be mechuyev to try and mitigate the sender's losses? Let's say he'll cancel his flight and he'll charge the sender all his expenses and all the what's called, he'll go out back home into London or wherever it is, yeah, and he'll charge all the expenses, but for yenas,
it's not
mechuyev
to do that. That's not what we made up. I think Amora says that even if they told you that they're giving you an ox, which is a tam, and then it tells the mu'ed, I could say that's not what I talk to Gemara Bakam and Abmem. Adaiti dari lo shali. So I'm not mechuyev. I took a date for an ox, not of a lion. I'm no obligation to do that.
Can a passenger pay the tax?
What?
Can a passenger say, "I'm
declaring
it. I'm paying. I'm putting it up. I'm taxing. £20,000.
Give for himself.
Yeah, he's paying. He's not obligated. He's not paying the tax.
He could do definitely. Once he became hefker, he could do that.
No.
Yeah, no, he could do it. Once he told the owner, I'm throwing it out, he agreed there was no barrier. If the owner told him, I'll pay now the £3,000, then he couldn't do it. But if the owner told him, all right, you have no barrier throwing it out, then at that point he could pay the tax and take it.
Isn't that
hefker
only works once
he
comes to
Yal Sheni? Yeah, we don't pass it. We don't pass it. It's somewhere else you could do it. I mean, Hesker Rab Yesib, if they're Acherim, we don't pass it. We pass it like our body. What?
Does he have to tell him I end up taking it?
No, they never tell him. I mean, we didn't ask if he was a nice guy. But the halacha was a chesh mishpat. There's a tie on him. If the other fellow would have suggested, like I said here, that I'll pay the taxes. And if you trust him, he's a reliable guy, he'll take a pay it, then you had no reshus. But if he just said, okay, I tricked you, you want to throw it out, so I have no choice. Then at that moment, if he decided to take it for himself, Chesha Mishpa will remind me.
If the not using Nusach of Adai to the Hochi, he can say, I never agreed to take that.
What?
Even if he tells him to pay the tax.
Well,
it could be.